Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and thank you so much for spending time with me this morning here on Archangel Radio. It really is a great privilege to be with you. I hope you enjoyed listening to Maggie Gallagher speaking from the Benedict 16th Institute. Wonderful renaissance that's happening over there on the West Coast, and no doubt it will spread ever eastward and ever around the world. And we look forward to hearing from Maggie and many of her cooperators in the coming weeks, months, and years ahead. I'm sure it's going to have a great significance in the Catholic cultural landscape. Now, something which has had a great significance in our prayer landscape over the last 30 or 40 years is, of course, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we are now about to pray that. And I invite you, wherever you are, whether you're driving, whether you're walking, whether you're at home sitting down with a cup of coffee, or whether you're lying in your sick bed in a hospital, I'm inviting you to join me this morning here now to pray it with you. You don't have to do anything. If you're a Catholic, grab your rosary beads if you know where they are. If not, just stick your fingers in the air. You've got 10, that's enough. We're going. But if you're not a Catholic, you're still equally welcome. All we're doing is praying. All we're doing is invoking the divine mercy from the Sacred Heart of Jesus upon all our problems and upon all our difficulties, upon all our woes that are part and parcel of what it means to be a human being, accentuated by rather gloomy Monday morning. So no better time to turn to the Lord and ask for his assistance. And that's what we do for the next 30 minutes. That's right. You can be part of that by texting in a prayer request on 251-928-2111. We'll pray for it. Doesn't matter how small, how large, or in between. Doesn't matter. We'll pray for you and it. Or if you're feeling strong, you can call the show on 888-928-0881. Delighted to hear from you and hear what it is on your mind this morning. Get it off your chest. Give me a ring. Okay, so let's find out today who the prayer warrior is. Reed, do we have anyone?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Sherry.
Hi, Kevin.
Is it really you, Sherry?
It's really me. I know it's been a while. I've had so many people want to come on air, so I haven't been able to come on.
You never call. You never write.
Oh, but I do text.
Yeah, she writes plenty.
She texts. I'm only joking. I'm only kidding around. Sherry, you are the backbone of this particular part of the show. You do a lot for the show in general, but this part of the show, we couldn't do it without you, because you have been finding us some amazing prayer warriors. I don't know if you've heard them all over the last few weeks. We've had star after star.
Yes, we have. And I'm so grateful for everybody that wants to come on. And I keep encouraging people just to give me a call and we'll get you a date to come on.
That's wonderful. And you know, Reed has even sort of given some of them prayer warrior centurion status. So they are now prayer centurions. I mean, we even have an additional rank in our armor.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So listen, Sherry, I can't let you go any further without asking, how's Luke?
Luke is doing great. He's settled. He loves his job. He loves the area. So we just need to keep praying for him that he comes back to the church.
And of course, we're praying for that other, my intention, which is that he finds a young woman, good Catholic woman, who he falls madly in love with and makes you a very, very happy grandmother.
Yeah.
Ten times over.
Okay.
Now, before we go any further, Sherry, you probably know that we were praying last week for Sharon.
Yes.
And Sharon was in hospice. And Jim, thank you so much for allowing us the privilege to accompany you, your beautiful wife, and Sharon on this final journey. And Jim texted me after the show ended, or this part of the show ended on Friday, to let us know that Sharon passed away last Friday at 6:25 a.m., and Jim, you've texted again today just to remind us of that. I was conscious that I was praying for Sharon at the weekend, Jim. She was constantly on my mind. I don't know why, just praying for her. But you know what? When somebody like Sharon goes on before us, I often turn to them and say, right, Sharon, can you now pray for us? and ask in particular for Sharon's prayers for Jim and for his wife and for their family. And Jim, all I can say is that last week it was an absolute privilege for myself, the prayer warriors here, and everybody at Archangel to be able to accompany you and your family in those last days. And I'm reminded of what St. Paul said, though. We're Christians. We're not pagans. So death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? It doesn't happen. The victory is the Lord's. And we place all our trust in the Lord and know that Sharon has gone to his divine mercy now. We pray. Okay, so we will, I think, if it's okay with you, Sherry, we will offer up this first decade for Sharon, for Jim, for Megan, for everybody in that family, the journey they've been on, the sorrow, the human sorrow that you feel at a time like this, but also to give thanks for Sharon's passing and to ask for God's mercy upon her and for all the departed faithful.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, we shall. That'll be our first intention today. But before we get to that, I'll put out one last plea. Sherry and I are going to be praying the Divine Mercy now. That means we've got four decades left. Well, Sherry's bagged one, so we've got three left. So you've only got three decades in which to get in your requests. And you can do that by texting me on 251-928-2111 or by phoning the show and grabbing some prayer requests on 888-928-0881. What I would say to you this Monday, the 27th of February, year of our Lord 2023, is what have you got to lose? And what might you gain? Okay, shall we pray, Sherry?
Yes, let's pray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Sherry, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Great. Well, we're up and running, Sherry. So this first decade is for Sharon, for Jim, for Megan, and for all their family at this time. May Sharon and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Sherry. So we are now definitely up and running. So Sherry, tell me, who or what have you brought today for prayer?
Well, I have gotten a lot of prayer intentions to be read from.
Well, I tell you what we'll do, Sherry.
Okay.
This decade, I want your intentions.
Okay.
And then the next one, we'll take some of those written ones, and if they have to go to another one, because I don't want to rush it, you know. I mean,
okay.
These intentions are important. So, but let's start with you, Sherry. I'll put Luke's name down anyway. Okay, so that's a given.
Okay.
That's on the board.
Let's put Jake's name on there too. My other son.
Jake and Luke are a given, right? Every
yes.
time a mother comes on, and that's
yes.
good.
Okay.
So, who else or what else specifically to you?
So my son's aunt. So. It's their aunt on the other side, was
uh-huh.
just diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and it's
uh-huh.
already in her liver and both her lungs. So
right.
I want to pray for her, as well as my cousin Gloria Jean, who is in New Jersey, who also...
Just help me out, Sherry. What's your aunt's, their
Karen.
Aunt's name?
Karen. Yes.
Yep, we've got Karen. And then, sorry, in New Jersey, we've got...
My cousin Gloria Jean.
Yeah.
Who was is diagnosed with breast cancer. So they're
okay.
still determining treatment for her.
Okay, well, I think that's enough for this decade. We'll have Karen and Gloria Jean and obviously Luke and Jake as well. We'll pray for them. Luke, we're praying that his new adventures will all work out well. Is there anything particular to Jake? Is he in the middle of exams, school stuff at the moment?
Actually, he's in the middle of school and he is struggling a little bit. So with time, you know, he works and goes to school. So
yeah,
he's struggling a little bit. So we just pray that he, you know, comes through this okay.
Yeah, we'll lift him up to the Lord and ask for God's grace, the Holy Spirit, to help him manage time, which is a problem we all struggle with to some extent in different ways, different times. That's great, Sherry. Well, let's pray this decade for Gloria Jean, for Karen, Jake, and for Luke. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, so for this decade, we will take some of your written requests, Sherry. But don't worry, we'll just see how we get on. We might put some of them into the next one as well. There's no rush.
Okay.
So who have we got?
So we are praying for Christy, who is waiting for her numbers to come up so she can get her kidney transplant.
Uh-huh.
And that was requested by Bo.
Wonderful.
Jason, it's for Jason, health and healing, and that's from Elena.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, it was from an anonymous, just saying guidance and defending against evil.
Yep.
Heather, for healing of cancer, requested by D.
Mm-hmm.
For trouble and at risk youth and young adults, from John and Cheryl.
Okay.
You want me to keep going, Kevin?
No, I think that because I'm just trying to make sure we know the names here. So we've got Christy for his kidney. We've got Bo. We got Jason for health and healing, and Michelle,
mm-hmm.
Heather, and then the young was it the young
troubled,
what was that last
yes,
one?
Yes, risk. Young, you, yeah, troubled and at risk.
Troubled
youth.
You. at risk youth. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll pray this decade for all of those intentions. And what's included as well is everybody who has sent us those requests. We're really grateful to you. And we include you in this. Whenever we pray for somebody, we're praying for whoever is also putting that intention forward, because you're obviously a person with a good heart and you care for other people. And we're praying for you, for your intentions, which are unstated, but which the Lord knows, which is the main thing. Okay, so this third decade, we'll start with these Christy, Bo, Jason, Michelle, Heather, and the young, troubled, and at-risk youth. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Sherry. So that's the third decade done. So let's take this fourth decade and just continue with your list there, Sherry, whoever you've got on it and wherever they've come from. And we'll include them now in this fourth decade.
Okay, so there's two left. So this is for Kern, who is waiting for a lung transplant, and that was requested by Tammy. And then I have a rest in peace, T. His name is T. Charlie, and that was requested by the Keenan family.
Keenan family, right. That's fine. So just that's Curran, who's waiting for a lung transplant, and that's from Tammy. And then T, what was that?
T. Charlie.
May he rest in peace, and that's from the Keenan family. So we'll offer these up in this decade, and very glad to do so. Lung transplant. Did you say Curran's waiting for a lung transplant?
Yes, she's waiting for a lung transplant.
All right. Well, let's pray specifically that wait is shortened.
Yes.
We ask, Curran, if you're listening to this, we're praying that somehow the Lord will intervene in this situation, and miraculously your lung transplant will come much sooner than you think. And for everybody in the Keenan family, we pray that you be comforted at this time as we pray for the repose of T. Charlie at this time. And we pray for all the holy souls. Everybody's lost somebody at some point, and we offer this great prayer, this prayer which is very much about the dying and the dead. We pray for the repose of the holy souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Sherry. So this is the final decade. Sherry, I don't know about you, but time seems to fly when you pray, or is it just me?
It sure does.
Just seems like a minute ago we were saying hi, and now we're saying goodbye. So I've had a text in from a listener to the show who's asking for prayers in this final decade for Meg, so that Meg has an easy delivery. And I'm assuming that's a delivery of a child, not a delivery of a Chinese takeaway or something. So, Meg, listen, if you're listening, be of good cheer. Many, many other women have delivered babies very, very safely since time immemorial. So we pray, Meg, that the Lord will help you. And it'll be the easiest delivery that you will ever, ever experience. And then the medical staff will be amazed at how simply it all went. So, Meg, we're praying for you now and your beautiful baby. A couple of other people I'd like to pray who's contacted the show. I'd like to pray for Louise, who gave us some very helpful feedback about the frequencies, which I asked for at the start of the show. Good morning to you, Louise. You're a frequent texter to this show, and we love praying for you on it as well. You're also asking for prayers for the pre-born baby I've been praying for, who is due tomorrow. So, Louise, thank you for allowing us to pray for that child. We will pray for that little baby, that all goes well tomorrow in the birth. And I tell you what, Louise, if you could do us a favor and let us know that all went well, we would be absolutely thrilled, this little baby coming along. Maybe it'll be born on air, you know, born during the divine mercy. Wouldn't that be nice? And I'd also like to say a prayer for all our listeners, wherever you are, whether you're listening on AM, FM, on streaming services, on the internet around the world, wherever you're listening, remember this prayer is for you every single day, but especially this decade we're offering for you and your intentions, especially if you don't like the show. Especially if you'd prefer to have something else on, we're praying for you, if only to say so sorry. And in particular, I'd like to pray for Stephanie. Stephanie, you contacted the show earlier. Stephanie, I will address your question on air, but I'd like to lift you up in this prayer as well. And thank you for your kind comments. And thank you all for listening. Honestly, this show is yours, and it's an absolute pleasure to be able to be of service to you. Okay, so Sherry, we are loaded up, but I'm looking to you. Is there any last minute thoughts that come to your mind, anybody, anything, and you think, yeah, we need to pray for that?
My sister Cindy, who has a lot going on right now, pray that, you know, she finds some peace. I know she's a little just struggling a little bit.
Sure. And is Cindy living locally, or is
she does. She lives.
Okay, well, maybe, Cindy, if you hear this, you've got a good sister in Sherry, and you've now got Southern Alabama praying for you at this moment, Cindy. So things are going to get better. Just let's hang in there, okay? And also, Cindy, if you want more prayers anytime, or regular prayers, you know where we are. And I'd also like just to pray for you, Sherry, for Ellen, Shannon, obviously Mike, Reed, Michelle, Todd, everybody who's part of the Archangel family working at the Coalface. I want to offer this up as a prayer of thanksgiving for all you do, but also as a sort of protection for you all, that the Lord's mercy may protect you from everything that will offer discouragement and disappointment as viable alternatives, which are all really lies from the evil one. So we lift up everybody at Archangel and our mission, which is a simple one, to bring souls to Christ through media. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we say together three times, Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we conclude together, Sherry. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always a pleasure hearing you.
Just tell people how they can, if they want to come on and be a prayer warrior, just remind people how they can do that.
You can just call me at the office, 251-928-2111. You can call the show, 888-928-0881. And also, if you're at St. Lawrence and you're coming out of Mass, just come over across the street, drop in. You can do a drop-in intention. We would be happy to have you come on air as well.
Absolutely. We're a bit like a sort of spiritual McDonald's. You can just have a drive-by.
Yeah, just drive on by here.
Drop in, and we'll take your order.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, give our regards to Luke and Jake, especially Luke. Tell them we're praying for them. And look forward to having you back on the show soon.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Okay, that was Sherry Jackson, who does all wonderful stuff behind the scenes here at Archangel Radio and is in charge of the Prayer Warriors, which we must give her a rank. She's probably Chief Centurion of the Prayer Warriors. So that's Sherry. Well, listen, this has been a great 30 minutes. Stay with me, though. I've got a great story for you, especially for a Monday, especially if you're feeling a little bit fed up on a Monday. This is a story for you. We'll be right back after these words with story time. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency. Did you indeed? Welcome back to the Turley Frequency. My name is Kevin Turley, and I'm your chief werewolf, coming to you live from London. But I'm a very friendly werewolf, and one who says the divine mercy, which we've just been praying together here live on air. And it has really helped me. I'm sure it has helped you get through this Monday. I don't know what's wrong. Why is it such a difficulty, though? I think it's a change of gear, isn't it? We all have such a wonderful Sunday, and then it's Monday again, suddenly bang, thrown into the middle of it. So that's where we're up to. But before we go to story time, I just want to ask Reed. Reed, are you how are you feeling Monday? Are you feeling it?
I would say that I am making it, Kevin.
Good answer. I'm making it. Yeah, that's true. We're all making it, just about, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that the Divine Mercy Chaplet was very beautiful today, so I guess you could say that restored me a little bit.
Yes, well, that's down to Sherry, our chief centurion. We've got to give her a new name. Mm-hmm. She's like in charge of the centurions. So what rank can we give her?
I don't know what is above that.
We're gonna have to check it out. You know, mm-hmm. We're gonna have to have different ranks for the initiated, the super, as you say, centurions, which I think was your brainwave, Reed. And then we need a chief rank for Sherry's, because she's kind of in charge of everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they had generals back then. I think that they did, but
they must have done.
We'll think of something more creative than that. We'll think of a good name for the rank that we'll give the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what did you make of Maggie Gallagher and all that talk of culture?
I thought it was very interesting. The part that really stuck out to me was when she was talking about how society at large has pretty much foregone reason. Like a lot of people nowadays believe in like the concept of their truth, which obviously, you know, that's ridiculous. For the most part, I mean, there's one truth, and it's anointed, and when you can't, you know, when you edit it in any way to call it your truth, then it's no longer the anointed truth.
That's true. That is so true, Reed. It's only truth, really, isn't there? Two and two never makes five.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you count like me.
Oh, well, I mean, I can understand if you have to, you know, go on for 2 hours every day. Every once in a while, you're going to stumble over and have a couple of calculation errors. But, yeah, like she said, you know, society has kind of just dropped reason. Like in the old days, even if people weren't particularly religious, a lot of times religious people and non-religious people could find common ground in you know, reason, things that we see are evident, that we all recognize as true because, you know, it's something that we all experience. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about the concept of your truth or whatever, they are talking about, you know, experiences that they've had that a broad range of people do not have. But, I mean, that's not your truth as much as it is your experience
of the
truth.
That is right. Absolutely. You're right. I mean, there's a big difference between experience and truth. I mean, because we, as you say, we can all have different experiences, but it doesn't validate certain opinions or points of view. And also the role of emotion when it comes to these things, you know, I mean, depending on what mood we are in, something can seem right or wrong, depending on just, you know, I'm talking about trivial things, not obviously faith-based or doctrinal. But, you know, for example, in this country, you listen to a phone-in and you can tell when people are fed up. You know, and they talk about the government and all politicians are this and it's all pointless. They're obviously, they got out of the wrong side of the bed that morning, you know, and they're just letting vent of all their frustrations and angers. But that's not necessarily the truth of the situation. So we need to guard a little bit against our own emotions taking charge of our reason and letting our reason also be able to dominate a little bit when it comes to these situations. But I thought what she's doing out there, and I have some experience of it myself, having worked a little bit with the Benedict XVI Institute, I think she's very much a visionary. She sees that one of the ways in which America in particular will be evangelized is through the arts, through culture, through beauty. Which I hope, Reed, in a very small way, the Turdy Frequency is also trying to do, right?
Exactly. It would fit into the broad definition of art, that's for sure.
Yeah, it would have to be a very broad definition, but we'd probably shoehorn it in somewhere. You know, culture needs everything. It needs all media engaged. We can't all just have wonderful, beautiful liturgical celebrations, which are in Latin and beautiful music. You know, we also have to talk to everybody. And sometimes, as St. Paul says, you know, you've got to have the words for everybody and to be the salt to everybody. So we have to shine our light as best as the good Lord gives us, whatever that part of the kingdom is. So that's us here on the Turdy Frequency. Now, I've had a question, Reed, which I will I just closed it down. It was from Stephanie. And Stephanie wrote to us. She listens every day, I think, and she's very, very complimentary about the show and all the rest. But she has a question. She says, please let me know if there's a place where your stories, story time, are compiled so people can listen to all of them. Thanks so much for all you do. Well, Stephanie, there is a place that you can listen to them, which is to go to the Archangel Radio website. And if you go to the tab which says podcasts and shows and you scroll down a little bit, you'll come to the Turdy Frequency bit. And if you go on to that past episodes, click on that. And that brings you to another page, which will have all the previous episodes, which are R1 and R2. Reed does all this every day, R1 and R2. And R2 is where you get all the – so you get the first part of R2 is the Divine Mercy Chaplet, obviously. The second part is the story time. So they're all sort of there. All we're up to show 60. This is show 63. So you've got a few hours of listening there, Stephanie, if you're interested. But you'll find most of the shows go back there, and also the story times are there. Hopefully one day we'll be able to have the story times isolated so everybody can just listen to them independent, but at the moment they're all there. It takes a little bit of finding, but
it should be at about the 20 to 22 minute mark, Kevin, that it'll be starting, and when you go to that podcast, when you click on that and start it up, usually the way that the editing kind of falls together, they'll be looking for around 20 to 22 minutes after the start of the podcast is when the story time segments will
start. That's very helpful, Reed. So 20, 22 minutes, 23 minutes. And that's on R2, Stephanie. So if you go there, you'll find everything you need. But before you jump off and start listening to them, Stephanie, why not you have a listen to today's? Because we're about to go story time here on the Turley Frequency. Yes, welcome to Story Time here on this Monday the 27th of February. And the story today is all about a journalist, the Spanish writer and journalist, whose name was Manuel Lozano Garrido. And he was nicknamed Lolo. And I shall call him Lolo throughout this and have a great deal of affection for Lolo. I have to say that the first time I came across Lolo was in a photograph. And it was a very, very sort of striking photograph, because it was a man who was in a wheelchair, who was obviously very, very physically disabled. And there was a series of photographs on this website. It was a Spanish website, but I could make out what the language was within it. But he was in a what seemed to be like a family room, bedroom, something like that, but in his wheelchair. But in that room, Holy Mass was being said, and he was, as best he could with his physical disability, taking part in this Mass. And it was a very, very striking image. And sometimes when you see photographs of saints, you can glimpse something of their interior life. And in those photographs of Lola, and I'll give a website at the end of this where maybe you can go and have a look, but I found them very, very moving. Very, very moving. And I wondered who he was. Who was this man? What was his story? Well, let's begin at the beginning. He was born about 100 years ago, almost. He was born in 1920. But since 2010, which is 12 years ago, he's been known as Blessed Lolo because... And don't laugh, he's the first and so far only journalist to be declared blessed by the Church. Even without this declaration of sanctity, however, Lolo's life would be remarkable by any measure. From age just 20 years old, he was writing for very prestigious Spanish newspapers and magazines, as well as international outlets such as the Associated Press. Now, you know, I do a lot of Associated Press stories each morning on the show. We do the crazy and the wild and the wonderful. That all comes from the Associated Press, and Lolo was writing for them. Interesting, right? As well as being a very good and prolific journalist, he also published 9 books in his lifetime and founded a magazine. So who was he? Who was this guy? Well, to understand him, really, we have to understand something else, that there was another side to Lulu's life. It wasn't just journalism. You see, in 1942, when he was aged just 22 years old, he was struck down by a debilitating illness. Spondylitis. Now, this illness inflames the vertebrae, and in Lulu's case, left him deformed. From then on, he was confined to a wheelchair. Now, just pause for a moment and think about a 22-year-old who suddenly, after being very active, and I'll tell you a little bit more about his life up until that, but he was very active. I mean, it almost reads like a film, the excitement he was involved in. But at 22, he suddenly finds himself confined to a wheelchair. Now, this is 1942, not 2023. So in 1942, being confined to a wheelchair, you were very much on the outside of society, right? You were very much confined to that wheelchair in the very limited way in which the world would accommodate people who had those disabilities at that time. But then 20 years later, in 1962, Lulu was to lose his sight. He would live for another 9 years until his death in 1971 when he was aged just 51 years old. Now, many are struck down by or maimed by illness or disability, and they heroically continue to try and live their lives to the fullest that they're able to, right? And there's something very remarkable in that sort of human spirit that wants to live rather than to be defined by whatever life's setbacks are. It's an admirable resolve, but it's not the reason why Lulu was declared blessed. So as you can imagine, coming from Spain, Lulu grew up in a Catholic home. But not all Catholic homes are devout, but Lulu's was. And he was a very devout young man from a very young age. Now, he was born in 1920, so just as he was sort of entering into his teenage years, Spain was going through a very, very difficult time politically. The monarchy in Spain ended at the end of the 1920s, and thereafter there was what's known as a republican government. But the republican government was very, very socialist, communist, whatever way you want to put it, but it was also very anti-clerical and increasingly so. And it was partly this kind of extremism that led to the outbreak of what's become known as the Spanish Civil War. Part of the reason that that war came about was because of the ever-increasing persecution, overt persecution of the church within Spain. There are some horrible photographs of nuns and priests being executed right, left and center, convents being burned, priests being hunted down. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible time and seemed to come from nowhere and was very much diabolic in its hatred of all things Christian. I mean, I've even seen photographs of sort of red guards who emptied the crypts of convents so they could mock and desecrate the graves of the nuns who had been buried there. I mean, this was the sort of level of depravity and sickness that had gripped Spain at this time. Well, during this period of civil war, Lulu risked death by secretly bringing the Eucharist, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the sick. That's what he did. So, although he wasn't involved in the actual war in any description, what he did was he tried to make sure that those people who were being denied that viaticum, especially those who were dying, that they would have our blessed Lord in the Eucharist with them at this time. And it was on account of that that he was arrested. And very, very fittingly, it was Holy Thursday in 1937 that he was thrown into prison for doing this. So Holy Thursday, if you're a Catholic, you'll know the significance. If you're not, let me explain it. Holy Thursday is the great sort of day in which we remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist. That's the day, the Last Supper, the day when our Lord instituted the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And something which all Catholic Masses are representations of from now until kingdom come. Sometimes Reformers and Protestants say, you Catholics, you are having the death of our Lord again and again and again. And it's not that. We are representing Calvary through the Holy Mass. What happened on Calvary is such that it's outside time and space. And what each priest does at the elevation of the body and blood of our Lord is to bring that reality into that church at that moment. As once again the bread and wine is turned into the holy species, the sacred species, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So poor old Lulu was thrown into prison on Holy Thursday. Yet even here the Lord provides. And as Lolo would later recount, the Blessed Sacrament was being passed to him while he was in prison. I know. In fact, in one day, it was passed within a bunch of flowers. Don't ask me how that happened, but it went to him. And Lolo and those Catholics in prison with him erected a sort of makeshift altar to the Blessed Lord hidden in the host before proceeding to spend the entire night in prayerful adoration. So just think about that. Lolo is a young man, fit and agile at this point, and he's in a communist prison. And somehow he and his fellow prisoners are able to spend the night in adoration of our Blessed Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Now this incident, which he was later to recount, is an odd intimation of what was to come in his life and the two aspects of it that would shape that life. And the two aspects are confinement and the Eucharist. As I said earlier, just a few short years after his imprisonment and subsequent release, he found himself imprisoned by his own fragile body. This would have been enough to cause many to withdraw from the world around them. If any of you have ever been ill, and I have, if you've been physically disabled in a sense and unable to go out into the world, it also has a strange impact on your mind. You tend to withdraw into yourself, as they say. And this was certainly my experience, where even things like news, magazines, newspapers, the radio, it all felt like it was for somebody else, that we no longer mattered in a sense. But that wasn't the case with Lolo. In fact, it had the opposite impact. He still wanted to bring our Lord to souls. Do you remember he was an early Eucharistic minister, I guess you could say. He used to go and bring the Eucharist to the sick during the war, undercover. Well, now as a disabled man, what he was going to do was to seek souls for Christ through his writing. You see, despite his life-changing disability, Lolo still clung on to his dream. And his dream was this, that he wanted to be a writer, a journalist. And providentially, shortly after Lolo's confinement to a wheelchair, a friend brought him a present, and guess what it was? A portable typewriter. And this delighted Lolo. But the question remained as to whether the now disabled young man could make use of it, or instead it would sit by his wheelchair as a kind of constant mockery of his youthful ambitions and his former work. Eventually, the typewriter was placed on a table, and Lolo was wheeled in his chair towards it. Although his hands and fingers could scarcely move, he placed them upon the typewriter keys, And slowly, very slowly, he began to type. Now, Lolo wasn't able to type for very long, so mangled was his body, yet he did manage to type these words, and I'm quoting him directly. "My Lord, thank you. The first word, your name, may it always be the strength and soul of this machine. May your light and clarity be the mind and heart of all that type in it, so that everything written may be noble, fair, and promising." It was a start, and soon he was publishing articles again. In time, Lolo lost the use of his right hand, so he learned to write with his left one. As I said to you earlier, by 1962 he had gone blind, but he continued to write, dictating his articles to his sister and constant aid, Lucy. And over the course of his life, he would write 9 books on spirituality, an autobiographical novel, and hundreds of articles and essays. Needless to say, it was very rare for Lolo to travel anywhere. However, in May 1958, accompanied by his sister Lucy, he traveled to Lourdes, do you remember, the great Marian place of healing and miracles? And when he arrived there, he turned to his sister and said, "How can I ask for something for myself with so many people suffering more than me?" Instead, his sister heard him pray to the Virgin, "I offer you joy, the blessed joy, the fruitful joy." And so as to see the image of the Virgin at the grotto, Lolo's sister had to place a mirror on his knees due to his inability to lift his head, so that he could look at the mirror and then see the Virgin. But when Lucy came back to remove the mirror, she found that it was stained with tears. While at Lourdes, Lolo started to reflect on the relationship between his prayer, his suffering, and his journalism. And as a consequence, he returned from the Marian Shrine and founded what became known as the Sinai Groups, promising prayers for those working in Catholic media. Boy, do we need it. Lolo's idea was to create groups of 12 people who would pray for this intention. And through that, he started an apostolate to support Catholic media, which still continues to this day. Now, we're running out of time, and I could tell you so much more about this amazing man. What I will tell you is that his room looked out upon a balcony which looked out towards a church. And working from his home, Lolo would often at times halt his work and then turn his wheelchair towards the balcony. And he would look out towards the church where our Lord dwelt. And he would say this, "And now, face to face with the tabernacle, I am going to have a little chat with him." In November 1971, a priest said Mass in Lolo's apartment. That's where those photographs come from. And it was a makeshift table, and they had an altar there, and the priest came and prayed. And later that day, Lolo sent the priest a card. And it said, "For a time, we will not see each other. I go ahead to meet the Father. I renew my appointment in joy. Remember that everything is grace." A few days later, Lolo was dead. Now, for 28 years, he had been unable barely to move. And for 9 of those years, he was unable to see. But when Benedict XVI beatified him in December 2007, the subsequent papal decree had the following words: "Illness was the cause of his sanctification. Suffering was his germ." Blessed Lolo, pray for us, especially those of us who work in Catholic media.
You've been listening to Storytime on the Turley Frequency.
What do we have coming up tomorrow, Kevin?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Reed. We've got Mike Church coming back on the show. We are doing a simulcast with the Crusade Channel, so anything is possible. Fasten your seatbelts when Mr. Mike Church and the Mike Church Show comes to town.
That should be exciting. We did that about 3 weeks to a month ago, and it went really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's going to go even better tomorrow. What do you see?
Excellent.
Good. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. We've got you through the start of this Monday. I hope it goes really well for you. Let's ask Blessed Lodo to pray for us. Remember, he was in a wheelchair, he was blind, and he still found the greatest joy possible by doing God's will. Let's do God's will today, and let's rejoice in it. Thanks to Reed Hodges and to Mike Romano, our wonderful producing team here, and to Michelle McAloon, who is our executive producer, and to all at Archangel Radio, especially Sherry and all the good work she's doing. Stay tuned to Archangel Radio today, and if you like what you hear, come back tomorrow, same time, same frequency, same turley. And until then, stay tuned to the only radio station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is Archangel Radio. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.